Oh, you finally got to Nick Foles. Hey, welcome to NFL Live, everyone. We're going to get to that game and so much more. Also, Titans running back Derrick Henry joining us live here in just a bit. We're going to ask him exactly why the Titans can win the Super Bowl. Dan Orlovsky, you see him in the back of his head right there. We got Mina Kimes. Marcus Spears is grooving. We begin, though, with Adam Schefter, the latest news around the NFL, beginning with one of Tom Brady's favorite targets in Tampa.
Yeah, Laura, we're going to start with Chris Godwin, who had surgery on his finger that will knock him out of Monday night's game against the New York Giants. You've heard Bruce Arians talk about all the injuries to all the Tampa wide receivers. Well, the latest is the finger injury to Godwin, which goes along with Mike Evans' ankle. Tampa's wide receivers are banged up, and that explains why they officially signed wide receiver Antonio Brown today to a one-year deal with a max value of $2.5 million. Take note. The deal included zero guaranteed money. And so Antonio Brown knows he has to be on his best behavior. And if he's not, Tampa Bay simply will move on from him at that point in time. And Christian McCaffrey was back at practice today. The Panthers took him off IR, designated him, returned to practice. He started the day in a red practice jersey, then took that off, went through practice. Still think it's going to be tough for him to play this Thursday night against Atlanta, but we'll see how Carolina handles it. And one other move for the Panthers. Today, Laura, they released former first-round draft pick Eli Apple.
Adam Schefter with us the entire show. Let's get back to Monday Night Football featuring the Bears and the Rams. And Dan Orlovsky, is SoFi Stadium gorgeous or what? Making its Monday Night Football debut. You see it right there. They get the waterfalls, everything. And how about Aaron Donald with an opportunity to get to Nick Foles? And here is the chance. Second quarter, he finally gets him.
Well, Foles wants to get the ball out of his hands, but the route gets jumped. You got to go somewhere else, because if you hang out in the pocket, watch 99 work. Keeps his eyes on the quarterback. Foles tries to move, and he goes to hunt. Sack for Aaron Donald.
Credited with a half sack, actually, but we'll take it. Hey, how about Leonard Floyd right here?
This is a good design. They're going to put Floyd and Aaron Donald on the same side. Donald goes to the right side of your screen on the loop around. That leaves Floyd one-on-one with the tackle. Sack for 54.
Former ninth overall pick by the Bears in 2016. Probably getting some revenge on his former team. Third quarter, Bears down 17-3. Foles not able to get that right
there. This is a poor decision, but it's also great coverage. Watch Hill play outside leverage. Gets his head back to the ball. Taylor Rapp, run to the football. You never know if it's going to get tipped up for an interception. Great team defense there by the Rams.
Rams go on to win 24-10 in Monday Night Football, and Aaron Donald recorded a season-high 7 pressures in last night's win. He's now tied with Myles Garrett for the most pressures in the NFL this season, but the big difference between Donald and the league's other top pass rushers is that he's getting it done despite being double-teamed on 68% of his pass rush snaps. Imagine how frustrating that is. Doesn't matter for Donald, though. That's the fifth highest rate in the league and a significantly higher rate than any of the other players on that list you see there. So, Mina, how did this Rams defense affect Nick Foles in ways that we won't necessarily see on the stat sheet?
You know, Laura, it's hard for me to feel bad for Nick Foles. Man's made over $70 million. He's won a Super Bowl. He's got maybe the best nickname ever given to a quarterback. Won't say it. This is a family program. But I felt sorry for him last night because, and this is not to absolve him of blame, he didn't play well, but his offensive line was getting absolutely whooped up front. You saw in the highlights Aaron Donald wrecking havoc, Leonard Floyd. I thought Michael Brockers played well. And where that shows up is not just in sacks and pass rush wins, but also on third down. Nick Foles actually went 8-for-10 throwing on third down, but only converted 2 of those passes because they were all short of the sticks. That's what happens when you're under pressure all night. He didn't have a chance. You're seeing it over and over there. And that's why the Rams won this football game, because the amount of pressure they were able to generate up front.
Yeah, Mina, that third down stat is wild, right? And so we went into this game talking about the Bears defense and how good they are, rightfully so. But then watching the Rams defense, they're the story of the night, and it's not just Aaron Donald. Like, the Rams showed me that their defense is bigger than just 99. Leonard Floyd, you get one-on-one in a tackle, you go eat. You get made better because of Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey, the high-paid corner, used in so many different ways. Go get yourself a pick. Micah Kizer, you're becoming a big-time linebacker in the NFL. Troy Hill, we saw his interception. Taylor Rapp, we saw you run to the football. So, like, we give a ton of praise to Aaron Donald, as we should, but this Rams defense is bigger than just one star. They got a lot of really good football players, and when they play together, they showed last night they're a dominant defense.
Yeah, it certainly helps when you have Aaron Donald on your defense, because every opposing team's going to have to think about him a lot. Marcus, despite their record coming into the game, there were some questions about the Bears' offense, no matter how you looked at their team holistically. So in your mind, what did you see after seeing them against a really talented defense?
Yeah, Mina Kimes, we're going to start this show off on Tuesday being nice to people. I'm the guy that's supposed to be mean, okay, to people. And the bottom line is this. The Chicago Bears offense stinks. It's really easy when you got players like Dan just mentioned to look good against an offense like this. They are so old and archaic and vanilla. It is so easy. Yeah. You look at the direct opposite of what Sean McVay did offensively last night. Jet sweep, motion, moving the point for the quarterback, making sure he's playing with the defense eyes, creating leverage before the ball is even snapped. And then on the other side, you know what Matt Nagy said? We're going to line up. We're going to line up in the same formations we've been lining up in all season long, and we're going to get our head beat in by Aaron Donald. And the funny thing is, when Dan pointed out all of those plays those other guys made, 99 showed up. And the real issue, all jokes aside, that I have with that plan last night is that there was nothing about that game that said we want to take Aaron Donald away and make somebody else defensively beat us. They allowed him to do what he wanted to do. And then when you allow a defensive coordinator to know what's coming, when you give him the picture, we talk about disguise. Dan is one of the best. He breaks down disguise. He talks about what you need to do offensively to play with defensive guys in the back end and all of that. Mina tells us about how you attribute what offenses are doing to how much motion is happening, percentage numbers, all of that crazy stuff that they know. I just watch football, and I know if you line up in this formation, these are the plays you're going to run. And Matt Nagy took Nick Foles and that offense to the brandstone last night and told the Rams, hey, y'all come do what y'all will with us because we're going to do what we've been doing.
Yeah, the reality for the Bears is, like, they can't just line up and play football. They don't have a top-five offensive line. They don't have top-five skill group. They don't have a top-five quarterback. So the coach needs to be a difference maker. That's what Marcus is saying. Like, the coach needs to be more creative to close the talent gap, and that's where the Bears are kind of missing the point on offense right now.
Yeah, and Matt Nagy said today he does not intend to relinquish any play-calling duties or make a change at the quarterback position, which, of course, they've already done this season, saying the problem not just one person. We are 1 week away from the trade deadline in the NFL. Adam Schefter back with us on NFL Live to help set the table. So, Adam, how will COVID and the protocols put in place around the NFL play a role in the timing of the trade deadline this year?
Well, Laura, as you mentioned, 1 week from today is that actual deadline. It falls on Election Day, and we've already seen the fact that the pandemic is having an effect on trades across the league. Just last week, Baltimore essentially rushed through its trade with Minnesota to acquire Yannick Ngakoue so it could put him through 5 days of COVID protocol so he could be cleared in time to make his Ravens debut this Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And any team that's trading for a player will need to have that player go through 5 days of protocol. So if a trade went through today, the acquiring team would not have that player in all probability in time to play Sunday's game this week. So if you want a player, you have to trade from a little sooner, which is why we might see some trades at the end of this week prior to the deadline Tuesday so that a team could have that player available in week 9.
Yeah, it's a good point. And even in recent history, the trade deadline's been heating up around that time in recent years. Over the last 3 years, there have been 22 trades within a week of the deadline. In the previous 7 combined years, there were only 19 such trades. Adam with us for the rest of the show. And let's get the other people here involved. Give me a contender that needs to make a move, each of you. Marcus, let's start with you.
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know everybody's saying they don't need a damn thing. They could use Quinnen Williams and make these two D tackles between him and Chris Jones improve this team. Look, this dude can play. He's another victim of playing for the Jets, okay? And if you add him to the mix of that D-line along with Chris Jones and Frank Clark, you add another pass rusher and a good run stopper. And now you got an opportunity to rush four up in Kansas City.
The Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl need to trade for a receiver. Michael Gallup, Kenny Stills, Will Fuller, A.J. Green, somebody. Because if you watch the tape against the Houston Texans the other day, because Alan Lazard is out, you realize they got Davante Adams right now, and that's it. And we don't know when Alan Lazard is coming back. They need to trade for a receiver to go win the Super Bowl this year.
I just want to say, if the Chiefs get Quinn and Williams, the rest of the league should file a complaint because that'd be so unfair. I'm giving the Ravens a wide receiver. It's no secret that Lamar Jackson has not had the best year as a passer, and things he excelled at last season, throwing out of empty, throwing against the blitz, he's struggled at this year. I think it's because he needs a shifty slot receiver like a Jamison Crowder from the Jets or a Golden Tate from the Giants as a secondary option to Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, Mina, the Ravens did make a move at wide receiver today, signing Dez Bryant to the practice squad. You see Bryant's tweet there, "My emotions running high right now. I'm thankful I can't stop crying."
I be on my beast mode. Looking for some room, finds it. 35-30. Touchdown, Titans! I run this place,
but you already know. Yes, Derrick Henry made big man balling. He's an animal. I didn't say animal, because he's different. Once the beast starts to
smash, it gets scary, bro. Here comes Henry to the left with a stiff arm. Throws a man down. Josh Norman, get you some. I be on my beast mode,
beast mode. Oh, Derrick Henry's been an absolute bulldozer for the Titans since the start of last season. He's recorded 1,268 yards after contact, including the playoffs. That's by far the most in the NFL over that span, over 300 yards more than the next closest player. It's clearly no easy feat to bring down King Henry. And we're now so glad to welcome Derrick Henry to the show today, joining us on behalf of Old Spice. And Derrick, we're basically just here to pump you up. We just talked about how great you are. Now we got even more of that here with Marcus Spears. So Marcus, take it away and show him some of his great plays.
Yeah, actually, I've been seeing the big dog do this since Alabama, but I want to talk about him doing this against grown men that's trying to support their families. DH, 94 yards out the gate. Hey, bro, how do you not get caught? What is the 40, and do you ever think you're going to get caught from behind?
Well, I ran a 4.5 at the combine. I think I'm faster than that. That's the last time I ran the 40, but I don't want to get caught by – I don't want to get caught from behind, so I think that's just what I'll be focused on when I'll be running, just get to the end zone, get 6 points. And that's just the mentality. Once I break off the field, you got to get it, you got to go.
Pick them up and put them down. Now, look, this is going to be famous. It's going to be on highlights forever. When they do the draft this upcoming year, they're going to put you on here. What in the world made you do this to Josh Norman, man? Is this just reflex, or you was lining him up on the way out there?
Yeah, whenever I was coming around the outside and it was me and him one-on-one, and I seen he was going to go high, so I was like, I got to give him a stiff arm. And when I did it, made sure that it was perfect. By the time I realized it, I was out of bounds.
I feel bad that we keep showing that for Josh Norman, but who cares, because it was dominant. All right, so recently you've been asked a lot about this, even this year, Derrick, about the MVP race and your name being in that conversation. But you said, you know what, no, Ryan Tannehill should be the guy that you're talking about. What is it about your quarterback that you love so much?
Well, I think it's his leadership. Each and every day, you know, he comes to work, his approach to the game. And plus, he's been balling out. And I was just saying, not me. I mean, I don't think I deserve to be in the conversation at all. But the guys who's been in the conversation definitely deserve to be named for the MVP award. And you know, I feel like Ryan's been balling out and doing a great job, you know, to be in that conversation. But me, I just got to keep working and keep improving.
DH, legitimate question, man. You guys have an opportunity. You went into the playoffs deep last year. If you all are going to win a Super Bowl and you get to that game, what will the headline be? Will it be Derrick Henry rushes for 250 or Ryan Tannehill throws for 350 and three touchdowns?
I think it'll be both. It'll be both of those headlines. I'm praying and wishing and hoping that we both be able to ball out and bring that Lombardi home. So, keep speaking it, and we're going to keep working.
Yeah, what are the conversations amongst your team right now about that quest to win it all this year for you guys?
Yeah, I think we just focus on taking it one week at a time, focus on being 1-0 each and every week. We came up short last week against a great team who is now 6-0. And just now just focus on how can we be better than we were last week? What do we need to improve on as a team? And how can we grow, you know, week after week? And by making each other better, how do we prepare throughout the week, getting ready for Sunday?
I want you to talk about Valentina a little bit, your little daughter. What has she meant to you, being a dad to her? How have you seen that change you and make you a better man?
It's been the best gift, the best blessing God could ever give me. I can't even put it in words. I get to look at her every day I wake up. I come home after a game. It's like Christmas every single day. That little girl has stole my heart. And, you know, I can go on and on by the way she made me feel, but it's like undescribable feeling, you know, to be a father. And I'm blessed and very thankful that God chose me to be a father.
Man, she is gorgeous, man. I'm a father myself. I know how you feel. DH, just make sure, bro, when you drop off the first day for daycare, oof, that she ain't stiff-arming kids at the place, bro.
Yeah, I think whenever she get up and going and get to walking, I'm going to have a couple talks with her, a couple of sessions about, you know, how to use it if anybody ever try to.
I can't wait to see that. All right, Derek, as we mentioned, you are here on behalf of Old Spice. Tell us about your work with them.
Oh, yeah, I'm just excited and happy to be able to star in this commercial, which is now on YouTube, the Unstoppable Sweat Defense campaign. Old Spice has had many superstars, as y'all know, to star in these commercials, and I've been watching them as a kid, so excited and happy I get the opportunity. We definitely use Old Spice here. Old Spice is all in the locker rooms around the NFL and different stadiums, and the Old Spice Sweat Defense can give you the confidence to get through anything that comes your way on and off the field. And I'm just happy and blessed to be a part of it and finally, you know, have this commercial.
Hey, you were being real humble about that MVP race earlier, but you currently lead the NFL with 663 rushing yards. Keep up the great work. Thanks for joining us on NFL Live. And teach that little girl a stiff arm as quick as you can, okay?
Appreciate it, bro.
All right. Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate y'all.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Punter love. Oh, we love this. Mina, we're very excited about this, but let's talk about Johnny Hecker. And how does a performance like that help change the outcome of a game?
Where to begin, Laura? I mean, the man, the myth, the legend, Johnny Hecker. They say Bigfoot doesn't exist, but I'm pretty sure I saw him in Los Angeles last night, because Johnny Hecker was clobbering that thing. Four punts downed inside the Bears' 10. It's the first time any punter has done it all season. And here's how it impacts the Bears' offense, or an opposing offense. Look what they did afterwards when he punted it. This is, by the way, yeah, this is what we talk about when we talk about hidden yards. On average, when an offense starts from their own 10 versus their own 25, they lose half a point, which of course adds up over the course of a game. This is what winning in all three phases looks like, which is what the Rams did. They have the best punter in the NFL. He's one of the best punters in the history of the game. And yesterday on Monday Night Football, he truly put the special in special teams.
Yeah, over the last three seasons, Hecker has pinned opponents inside their own 10-yard line 22% of his punts. That's the highest rate of any punter over that span. Incredible how he can affect the game. And let's continue on with that game last night on Monday Night Football. The Bears hoping Nick Foles could create a spark for their offense, but that hasn't been the case. Since taking over as a starter in week four, Foles ranks 29th in total QBR, 30th in yards per attempt, is tied for the most interceptions in the league over that span with five. However, it may not be all Foles' fault. Chicago's offense has recorded a 41% pass block win rate since week four, the second worst rate in the league, not getting a lot of help from the O-line. Last night on the broadcast, Brian Griese talked about a conversation he had with Foles about the play calling.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. You know, we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines. So there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball out quick and whatnot. You know, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Okay, so a little bit of clarification there from Nick Foles. But, Dan, we just heard that the coach and the quarterback might not be on the same page for the Bears. What does the tape from what you see say about Nagy's play call?
Well, Matt Nagy doesn't know what the Bears are really good at offensively, and he also doesn't know of, like, what to avoid when it comes to their offense. Something the Bears do well is play with tempo, and when they do, it usually leads to the best opportunity for scoring drives. Last night, 1st and 10, this is going to be the play-action pass where Foles drifts out to his right, throws back across his body, Cole Kmet for a huge conversion one-on-one downfield. Oh, great. Now we're going to watch Nick Foles jogging. This is the Bears offense playing with tempo. So they get up there again. 1st and 10. Let's just get lined up and get the defense kind of off balance a little bit. Foles gets out of the pocket, something they need to do more of. Play action pass. He creates. Great. Conversion. Now let's go to 2nd down. You're going to see, look at that signal. We're playing no huddle tempo football. They run it on 2nd down, get a yard, go no huddle again, get the 3rd and 2. Conversion for a 1st down. That's great. That's doing exactly what you should do. Now, 1st and 10, for some reason, they huddle up. This is not who the Bears offense needs to be. They're going to go about 1:09 on the clock. You're going to see a run. And because they huddled, defenses can change their personnel. And all of a sudden, they get to 3rd and 5. Now, look at the clock. The clock wore down, and they're in the huddle there at 3rd and 5. What they should have done was got to the line of scrimmage and ran a play. But they huddle. They go to the second quarter. The Rams dial up a pressure. Ball has to come out because they can't protect it. And then it's a bang, bang hit, forcing a punt. Like, that is a perfect example of Matt Nagy not having a feel for what they're good at. You just went down the field with tempo. Don't huddle. You're not good at it. You know, and at the end of the first quarter, you should have ran to the line of scrimmage with about 20 seconds on the clock, got in a formation, and tried to gather some information of what the Rams were going to do. Because if you lined up in that bunch, you might have seen the Rams showing pressure. The end of the first quarter comes, and then you have a plan for it. Hey, let's talk about that blitz that they were going to look at and how we want to defend it.
Yeah, you were standing up for that whole thing, so I don't know why you just sat back down. You're about to stand back up again, because on the flip side of this, McVay seems to have all the right answers dialed up for his offense. You said the gap between these two coaches is very large. Why?
Whatever you think it is, times it by 100, because Sean McVay knows exactly what the Rams are good at, and they major in it, and then he knows what they're not good at, and he totally avoids it. Last night, they're good at tempo, pre-snap motion, and then movement outside the pocket. So what you're going to see, no huddle offense. Jared gets the line of scrimmage. Dummy cadence. He's going to see the safety go back to the middle field. Great, you're going to play cover 3. So now we'll see the 2nd step. There's the no huddle. This is the 2nd step, pre-snap motion. Cooper Kupp, pre-snap motion's across. And while they do that, we're going to show you his scissors. Robert Woods sneaks out the backfield to the vacated spot in the zone. And what's the 3rd thing? Play action pass, moving the pocket outside. Jared Goff goes play fake. Look at all that space that they've now created because of those 3 steps. An easy completion for their offense. They major in all 3 things. Now, what do they not do well? Drop back pass. Early on in this game, 3rd and 4. If I get into empty and I see you coming with a 6-man pressure, Jared Goff's like, no, 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 no. We are not good at this. I'm not going to do this. So he's just going to walk up to line of scrimmage, make a check to a little quick screen to the perimeter to Gerald Everett. And here's the thing. Sean McVay knows we are not good at that. I'm not going to expose my football team to anything bad. If we don't get the first down, I don't care. I'm just going to kick it out to Everett. And if I have to punt, I'll punt. But he knows that that's not what they're good at, and so he's not going to do it. That's why the gap is totally different. The Rams major. They major in the things that they excel at. And Sean McVay's like, you know what? The things that we're not good at, we're never going to do. And it showed last night.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It should be as simple as this. Just create your scheme around the strengths of your players, right? I don't know why that's so hard. No secret, the Dallas Cowboys are struggling mightily, coming off another loss and their quarterback Andy Dalton injured. So Jerry Jones has a weekly radio appearance on 105.3 The Fan, and today it got a little heated. Jerry was asked if the team has a leadership void. Take a listen to this exchange.
But seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Let me answer. No. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
So Jerry did go on to walk back a little bit of that testiness at the end of the interview. But Marcus, you're taking a deep breath after you heard that. What do you make of Jones' comments?
I mean, listen, Jerry knows it's a leadership void. We play this same song. We've been playing this same song. But it's obvious on this team. Your leader fractured his ankle, okay? Yep. And he's not in the locker room anymore to make sure everything is running smoothly. Guys are getting back on track. It relates on the field as well. Dak Prescott was on the field. This team was still bad. They were still having turnovers. The defense was still giving up a lot. And they were in games because Dak Prescott was on the field being a leader. There's a leadership void. And then you go to another level, the coaching staff. It's a leadership void. This team is making the same damn mistakes they've been making since week two of the season. So at some point, the leadership of the coaches need to say, hey, we are not going to allow ourselves to be beat this way anymore. That's the second thing. The third thing is the general manager. Yes, Jerry Jones, I'm talking to you. Maybe it's time for somebody to come in that's going to be ingrained in roster building, making sure you don't have cataclysmic problems if people get injured or you lose position groups or things like this transpire. Defensively, you are devoid of talent. I don't know if anybody else told you, but you are. You're devoid of talent up front. There's not enough playmakers and players on the defense right now. It's a leadership void on all three levels. And anybody that's watching football, been around football, and watching what's happening in Dallas knows it's a damn leadership void and also a production void and wrong decisions being made. And I'm going to leave it at that because I've been around this game long enough. I started playing football when I was 6 and finished when I was 31 years old. That's 25 years of football. Played in the league 9-4 in college. And when a leadership void is missing, I can tell because I've been a part of it. Yes, it's a void.
That's called keeping it 100.
There you go.
I think the Cowboys organization has been exposed over the past couple weeks. When we talked about Dak Prescott for the last 18 months, it was always the contract situation. And when it tied to the financial aspect, it was often like the Cowboys wanting Dak. Now, the reports have come out that they offered him a really, really good contract, and he has decided to say no, right? Maybe he knew more than we did. You know, maybe he knew a little bit more about what the reality of that organization was. And I think Dak Prescott is sitting there right now going, you know what? As I'm sitting there watching this unfold, maybe Dallas isn't the right place for me. Like, maybe Dallas is not the place for my future, because if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm sitting there going, how can they fall apart so fast, so much without me? Like, he's a really good player. I get all that. But teams lose players and quarterbacks at times, and they don't fall apart. The Cowboys organizationally have fallen apart. And I think Dak is going, you know what? This isn't a one-year fix. Me coming back next year is not going to fix everything that's going on with Marcus's point at the top and what's going on with the lack of leadership at the head coaching position and what's going around the lack of leadership at all the coaching positions and the other players. The Cowboys organization in many ways has been exposed.
Players change. quarterbacks change, coaches change, but the one constant here is the owner, Jerry Jones. After he, you know, sniped at that radio host, he apologized by saying, well, you know, there's an old saying, if an old man has a little money, you don't want to piss him off or something. I don't even think that's a real saying, by the way, and it's very syntactically confusing. But let's talk about that money, Jerry, and let's talk about how you spent it. Because in the year 2020, there is nothing more important in football than passing the ball and stopping the pass. Jerry Jones chose not to pay their quarterback who passes the football. I know they offered him a contract, but it wasn't what he wanted, okay? And meanwhile, he didn't invest money in stopping the pass and the right players. Ezekiel Elliott, they drafted before Jalen Ramsey, who we saw balling out last night. Mm-hmm. They paid him and Jalen Smith, let Byron Jones walk, and they can't pass the ball or stop the pass. It's not that complicated. It's not complicated. This is a poorly built football team, and you're seeing the consequences.
Let's get Adam Schefter back in here for a little more context. And Schefty, the Cowboys were one of the first teams making a coaching hire last offseason when other teams were certainly looking around. But what led them to Mike McCarthy so quickly?
Well, I think the fact that he had the track record he did in Green Bay, Laura, and the fact that he had taken off a year of football, studied the game, and they felt he was ready. And Mike McCarthy is an excellent football coach. There's no issue there. The issue is that they conducted a two-person search. They interviewed Mike McCarthy, they interviewed Marvin Lewis, and they called it a wrap. Now, if we go back over time, teams that conduct almost annual coaching searches seem to go through 6-7 candidates. The executives conducting those interviews are away for a couple of weeks. The Dallas Cowboys last did a coaching search back in 2010, and the man they wound up hiring came from within the organization, Jason Garrett. So they knew him. So they really haven't gone out and talked to other candidates, younger, older, different perspectives. We don't know what they might have gained from doing a process like that. It can't hurt to listen in to hear what other qualified coaching candidates might say and think about your current roster. They were quick to wrap it up because they believed in Mike McCarthy. They felt he was the right man and they didn't need to go any further. And so far, the results are what they are. A lot of people disgruntled, a lot of people pointing fingers, a lot of people unhappy. The fact of the matter is, they're not going to make a head coaching change. They're not thinking about making a head coaching change. There might be assistant coaching changes that are going to be coming sooner rather than later, but it's not going to be the head coach that they're going to change because they still believe they found the right man.
Yeah, the Cowboys off to a 2-5 start. That's their worst start through 7 games since 2015 when they also started 2-5.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, the Buccaneers may have found the key to success for Tom Brady this season, all about keeping him clean. Brady's thrown all 18 of his touchdowns when not pressured this season. That's the most in the NFL. Opponents are pressuring him on just 15% of his dropbacks, the lowest rate in the league. He has now won 26 straight games, dating back to 2011 when he's not sacked. 4 of those wins have come this season alone. So, Dan, just to reiterate that one more time, Brady hasn't lost a game in 10 seasons when he isn't sacked. This stat blows your mind. What do you make of it?
Wait. So he hasn't lost a game in a decade when he doesn't get sacked?
When he doesn't get sacked, exactly.
That's insane. Like, that's insane that that's the a decade. So, that's kind of what's happening in Tampa Bay right now. Like, the unsung hero of the football team is the offensive line, because they're protecting Brady. And Brady relishes a lot of things, being in empty protection, right? He sees the pressure coming from his right. He knows that dropper right around the 30-yard line is the guy that he's got to hold. His eyes rip Chris Godwin. Easy completion. How about play action pass? You see 12 personnel, play action pass, hardball. Look at this pocket that he has to work with. How he's so set up to throw. Watch the accuracy on the throw. Outstanding. Now, they got really good receivers, so sometimes they play in 10 personnel. Motion, Godwin over. He's going to be part of your protection. So a little bit of a horizontal fake. Get those backers to step up. Replace them with Mike Evans. And watch how quickly the ball comes out. Rip. I mean, this is why Tom Brady's playing so well. You know, football is a fast man's game. It really is. It's a fast man physically and mentally. Quarterbacks struggle when you make us think faster. I want everyone to envision a putter, right, for golf. Like, when someone's going to hit a putt, they take their time. They look over it. They check the line. They get themselves aligned. And then they take their time making the putt. That's what Tom Brady's doing as a quarterback right now. Like, he's got so much time in the pocket. He's like, all right, here's my line. This is the break of the putt. I can take a couple practice strokes. And then he's greasing everything. The offensive line is giving him so much time. That's why he's playing so well. If they keep him clean, this team is the Super Bowl champion.
Remind me to never go mini golfing with you, Dan, because it sounds like you take forever.
Take your time.
He does.
Take your time.
Look, Brady's been awesome, and Dan, you nailed it. It's because he's not been pressured. He dropped back 43 times in that game, and he was pressured 3 times, okay? What? Not hit, not hurried, pressured 3 times. That is obscene, and there's a number of reasons. He's getting the ball out quickly. Teams are afraid to blitz him. They always have been. He's got weapons who get open quickly. And the offensive line has been playing at a very high level. It's all combining for this formula that, frankly, is unbeatable. You cannot beat this Tampa Bay team if you can't pressure Brady. It's as simple as that. We say it every year. We used to say it when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. What's the key to the Super Bowl? Getting pressure with four, right? It's like a cliche because we said it so often, but it's the truth. And we saw Chicago did it. It's right. Not impossible. It's just difficult. But if you don't do it, you're done. You're not going to win.
Marcus, what do you think Tom Brady's biggest impact in Tampa has been so far?
Well, give me the honor of schooling the summa cum laude and the graduate of the University of Florida and UConn's quarterback, all-man, all-world Dan Orlovsky. And let me introduce you guys to the psychological professor, Marcus Swaggoo Spears.
Oh, my God.
Okay? This is the Tom Brady effect. All right, on the field, yes, we're seeing results. They're protecting well, surrounded by a lot of talent, a defense that's led by Todd Bowles, who's doing a tremendous job. But guys, when you infuse winning and leadership into a team that already has an immense amount of talent, and they buy in because every time they look at that guy, they say, we can win a Super Bowl because he's our quarterback. Why don't we all just raise our level of play? That's the psychological thing. That's the mind games that Brady plays with us in the media, and he plays against other teams. Because what has happened in Tampa is exactly why you pay a man $25 million to throw an oblong long ball all over the field. It's because he can affect the thought process of everybody else around him, including the coaches, the players, and then it tends to show up on Sunday. That's Tom Brady. That's the biggest effect. We knew he could throw the damn football at a high level for a long time. But what you're seeing now is a team that believes they can win it all because one guy signed and they decided to give him $25 million to do it. Oh, they signed AB too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Professor Swaggoo is welcome on this show anytime. Hey, by the way, Dan, you were 1-1 in games in your career when you weren't sacked. So apparently it worked out kind of well.
You guys were all great when you hit us.
Well, partially great, like 1-1, so you lost one of those. Anyway, all right.
That's unneeded.
New on NFL Live, Adam Schefter reporting that the Detroit Lions are trading a 2021 sixth-round pick to the Dallas Cowboys for defensive end Everson Griffin. It's a conditional pick, so just so you know right there. All right. Anyway, time for one more thing before we go. And this all about Trevor Lawrence. Now, listen, everybody thinks that he may be the number one overall pick. It's a foregone conclusion in the 2020 NFL draft. But what if he goes back to school? He said today that while he always thought he'd go pro after this season, the option of returning to Clemson still on the table. Of course, the Jets have the league's worst record at 0-7. Is this shades of 1997 when Peyton Manning decided to go back to Tennessee another year so he wouldn't have to go to the Jets? What do you think, Dan?
I mean, if he stayed at Clemson, they'd be better than we would be at the Jets. Like, it'd be a step down to go to the Jets.
Both in facilities, both in coaching,
both in talent around him. Like, Justin Ross and Joseph Ngata are better than the Jets receivers. So, like, him going back to Clemson would be an upgrade instead of going to the Jets.
Marcus, what do you think?
Can we trade Adam Gase?
I don't think that's part of it.
A conditional sixth round pick.
Is Trevor Lawrence going to go back to school?
Yeah, go back to school if they can't trade him. Go back to school, man.
Oh.
Don't subject yourself to that. Pull a Manning brothers situation. Pull an Eli situation. Play somewhere else, period. That's it. Bottom line. Trevor, we know damn well you ain't supposed to go back to school, bro. You're the number one overall pick. Stop playing.
Yes. The professor has spoken. Guys, give me a break, okay? Because if he is the number one overall pick, Adam Gase isn't going to be there, okay? So let's be realistic here. The Jets have a ton of cap space and draft picks to build around him. And I hate it when people do the, can Bama beat an NFL team? Can Clemson beat
him? I didn't say they would beat him. I said it would be a step down if he went to the Jets talent-wise.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for watching. Professor Swaggum. Dan, you can't be Professor Gase. Dan, okay?